So this morning, we're going to just keep the kids where they are for now. If you need a nursery for the little ones, those are available. But for those of you who are here, who are in grade school or in the younger grades, I just have a question for you. What is this? It's a crown. It's a crown, right? And a crown is a symbol of power or authority. Not many people walk around wearing crowns, right? So who are the kind of people that wear crowns? Kings, queens, right? Queens have sometimes a princess or a prince. They might have a smaller version, but they've got a crown, right? And that crown represents something. It helps us to know that they're different than everybody else. They're not the same as you and me, unless you are a king or a queen or a princess here this morning. But you know, a king is different than a president. We live in a country where we've got a president and we have elected officials, but a king is born a king. He wasn't elected to be king. He was born a king, or he won like a great battle to become king of that area, right? So you might be familiar, you kids, with another king who was born, but he was born to be a king, but he didn't quite understand the kingdom. He didn't understand necessarily what it meant to be a king. Who's this? Simba, right? This is Simba from The Lion King, and I want to talk about him for a little bit for us children, me included, so that we can grasp the greatness of our King Jesus here this morning. So we're going to start with something maybe we're familiar with. The Lion King is the movie that this comes from. And The Lion King was wildly popular and actually grossed $8 billion in movie theaters. But then it went into a Broadway musical and actually surpassed all Broadway musicals of all time, even Phantom of the Opera, and became the most popular Broadway show of all time. So, as a lion, Simba, you know, he was born to be king of the beasts or king of the jungle. And when Simba was a cub, he sings this song, "I just can't wait to be king." Do any of you remember that song? "I just can't wait to be king." I won't sing it. But Simba was anxious to become king because he didn't want anyone telling him what to do and what he couldn't do. He wanted to be king. He wanted to be the boss. In fact, he sang a song, and one of the lines from the song is, "Free to do it my way." Sounds a little bit like Frank Sinatra to us older people. Free to do it my way. That's what Simba wanted. He wanted to be king because he wanted to be free to do it his way. See, Simba had a poor idea of what it means to be a king. Because a real king, a good king, doesn't live for themselves, which we're going to learn in a moment, but he lives to look after the needs of his people. A good king looks after the needs of his people, the people that he serves, the people in his kingdom. He tries to keep them safe. He tries to keep them, you know, going, prospering and being able to work together for good. So today, we celebrate the best king of all, King Jesus, a real king and a real good king. Today is Easter Sunday, as you know, and we see Jesus in his strength and in his power display his greatest victory of all, his victory over death and over sin. And now he sits in authority as king. See, on the cross, and if you're familiar with the story of the cross, we saw Jesus as the Lamb of God, which symbolizes his sacrifice, his humility, his willingness to die for our sins. But there's another image in Scripture, and that is the lion. The lion also is a representation of Jesus' character. He's both compassionate like a lamb, but also mighty like a lion, powerful. And we need to see both of those to appreciate the fullness of who Jesus is, what he really accomplished and what he's really capable of as king. So the lamb and the lion imagery in the Bible shows us the multifaceted nature of God and the nature of Jesus. It's portrayed in both a powerful lion, but also a gentle lamb. Now, these word pictures of a lion and a lamb help us to see his power and his humility, the things that he chose to do with his strength, which showed such great compassion for us sinners who needed him so desperately. See, Jesus has the ability to be both a warrior and a savior at the same time. And the scriptures from Genesis all the way to Revelation teaches us that. The Bible uses hundreds of different metaphors and word pictures to describe an indescribable God, an invisible God, an all-powerful God. And in these word pictures, two of them, which are important for us to think about this morning, are this lion and this lamb. You see, the lamb, maybe we're most familiar with, because we have scriptures that we've got John the Baptist early in the Gospel of John saying, behold, when he sees Jesus, behold, or look, the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. But a lamb, as we know, is gentle and meek. A lamb was used for sacrifice. It is also a sign of humility, which was able to bring us our redemption and our grace. Jesus had to be the perfect Lamb of God. And so that was displayed on the cross, that his sacrifice on the cross for us was perfect. It completed all sacrifices. There's no more need for any more sacrifice for sin. Jesus accomplished it by being the Lamb of God. But Jesus also is pictured in Scripture as a lion. And Easter morning is a display of his power because he came victoriously out of that grave. He didn't sort of crawl out. He broke out through the power of God. And so power and victory symbolize Jesus' authority, his victory over sin, his victory over death and the grave, and his power and authority now as King, King of Kings. He's a powerful ruler who is seated on the throne. And he also, as a ruler, he has a purpose in place. He brings about justice. He rules in justice. And he protects his people, the people of his kingdom. So it represents Jesus well to think about him as a lion in his boldness and in his courage to fight for us. Because we need that. We need someone to come to our rescue. We needed a savior, and we need him to continue to rule and reign as Lord and King in this world and in our lives. As you know, Jesus was born as a helpless baby in a manger or in a stable. And you know, it's interesting because the idea of him coming and being born in Bethlehem among the sheep and put in a manger in a stable really solidifies this concept of him being a lamb. But we forget the rest of the story. Do you remember there was a king at the time in Jerusalem, and he heard that there might be another king born. And so he told his army to go searching for all the young boys who would have been born between a certain period of time because he didn't want another king to be born. So he wasn't worried about a lamb. He was worried about Jesus, the lion, coming to rule and reign and take his kingdom from him. And so he felt threatened by that. And he had an edict to destroy those babies so that they couldn't rise to the throne. But the resurrection is proof of his power, that he has risen to the throne. In fact, in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, there's a song that's recorded. And we have the lyrics. We don't have the music, but we have the lyrics from that song that are recorded for us. And here's a few of them. These are spoken to the Lamb as he stands before the throne in heaven. You are worthy because you were slaughtered and you purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. He's worthy because he accomplished this by being the Lamb of God, by coming and laying down his life for us. You see, the lion has triumphed because he became the lamb. This is like theology 101. We have to understand that he has triumphed in this way. He rules over kingdoms forever and ever. And he, in his kingdom, which is now established forever in heaven for us, we have access to it through faith in Jesus. He rules there. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the King of Kings. There's no one greater than him. No one higher than him. In fact, in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul records this for us so we can understand that as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it's the highest of all authorities. He reigns over all things in absolute unbreakable power. And we Christians, we celebrate Easter because God raised Jesus from the dead and placed him as King of Kings. And Lord of Lords, he's not hanging on that cross anymore. He's not lying in that tomb anymore. He is now highly exalted in heaven above all things. And Ephesians tells us, far above all rulers and other authorities and powers and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the ages to come. And he put everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things in every way. It's done. It's finished. And Jesus now rules forevermore. You know, we forget this aspect if we focus too much on the Lamb. We forget about the King. The King, that Jesus is also the King. In fact, when he was being questioned before his crucifixion, he was asked by Pontius Pilate, "Are you the King?" Because the Jews are saying that you're a threat to me, that you're a threat to them as a king here, the King of the Jews. In fact, they put it on a sign and put it on the top of the cross over his head, King of the Jews. And it was meant to be a ridicule, but it was the truth. And he wasn't only King of the Jews, he is now King of the universe. But Jesus says to him, "You are right to say I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this reason I came into the world." Don't stop in just understanding that Jesus came to die, but he came to conquer. He came to win. He came to take over and to reestablish himself as king in our lives, but also in eternity forevermore in his kingdom. Jesus is a king, but like Simba, the little lion, Jesus was not only interested in doing his own will, he was interested in doing the will of his Father. And it was the will of the Father to save us. For God so loved the world, he sent Jesus into the world, that whoever believes in him would be saved, would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus was born to be king, but his kingdom is not of this world at this time. John chapter 18 goes on to say, "My kingdom is not of this world." So sometimes we get confused because we would like it all now. We would like it to be established exactly how we think it should be in our current day and age. But God has a bigger plan. It expands beyond our lifetime, beyond the lifetime of many saints who've come before us and maybe many who have come afterwards. God is working out his perfect plans so that his kingdom can come and be fully established here on earth, just as it is established in heaven. But he came into the world to make a way for us to live in that kingdom, even today. Do you believe that? You see, Jesus, he just can't wait to be your king, so that you can live with him forever in his kingdom. See, he has an ultimate goal. His goal is to bring you to God, to bring you to himself, to bless you, to save you, to heal you, to restore you, to allow you to walk in freedom where you've never walked before, to allow you to live to your full potential, which none of us have reached. But in him, he can complete the work that he's begun, and he will do it well. He desires to invite you and I into his kingdom. The problem is, we like to play a game that my brothers and I used to call King of the Hill. You ever play King of the Hill? You know, maybe you're out, you know, it's a snowbank, or maybe you're out in like a sand pit, like we would be in a sand pit or whatever. And we would like, you know, whoever's at the top is the king of the hill, and everybody else is kind of trying to attack and come up the side of the hill, and they get pushed down and pushed down and pushed down. But eventually the king of the hill falls, and then somebody else gets to be king of the hill. Well, unfortunately, that little picture of that little game is a lot like our lives sometimes. We're playing King of the Hill. Like, we want to be king. Like Simba, we don't want no one telling us what to do. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it. But people, you and I, we weren't born to be king. There's only one true king. One true king who was born to be king forever and ever. And who will do everything well. If I were made king, I'd make a lot of mistakes. I might do a few things right just by accident, but I would like make a lot of mistakes. That's also true of you and I. Because that's where sin comes in, right? We make a lot of mistakes. We do a lot of things we shouldn't have done. Or we don't do the things we should do. We fall into that because we're flawed. We have broken pieces inside of us, and they don't all fit together well. But Jesus, who was perfectly formed, who was the perfect Lamb of God, who Scripture says never sinned, he walked in flawlessness and continues to walk in flawlessness. He is worthy to be king. He does all things well. All his decisions are right all the time. Now, I know some of you think that's you, but that's not you. You're playing King of the Hill when you act that way. You think you're the king. But Jesus wants to be your king. He invites you to let him. And he's a gentle king. He's not going to smash you down, you know. He's waiting for you to open up your life, open up your heart, open up your thinking to let him in. So he can reestablish you and he can bless you. He can help you to prosper spiritually. To become all that you were meant to be when you were born into the image of God. Each of us is created in God's image, Scripture tells us. So somewhere inside of you is the ability to walk in a more godly way, in a more godly fashion, to have a better attitude, to do more good things for other people. That's in there. The potential is there, but it needs to be released. And it's released by inviting Jesus in to be your king. To walk with you and talk with you and train you and help you to see the world the way he sees it. Instead of being your own king of your own hill, will you get down from that throne and let Jesus take it today? Will you invite him to be your king? He already is established forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he waits for his people to respond to his invitation for salvation. Jesus, come and rescue me. Jesus, come and take over the throne of my life because all I can do is mess it up. And I need your help to straighten it out. So my prayer today for us is that we would establish Jesus on the throne of our lives. We'd let him be who he truly is, King of Kings, including over our lives, our decisions, our attitudes, our behaviors. Will you crown him as king? It's not hard. You don't have to pay for this right to do this. He's already paid everything on the cross. All you got to do is ask, and he will send his Spirit to help draw you into that deeper relationship through the cross of Jesus Christ. Think about it. There's no greater king. No one you can trust more than Jesus. No one who loves you more than Jesus loves you. No one who has done more for you and wants to do even more for you than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you that you send him to be a sacrifice for us, but also you send him to be a king, to be a trustworthy king and a good king who we could feel safe with and we could draw close to. So help us today, every one of us, because God, each of us struggle with who's going to be the king of our lives day by day. Often we choose you, but often we don't choose you. Help us, Lord, to reestablish ourselves as your servants, as those who love you, who want to serve you and follow you all the days of our lives. So God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for forgiving us through the cross of Calvary. We ask that you help us to live in the consciousness of King Jesus for the rest of our days. We ask this in his holy name.